Good morning. Oh. I know it's hot, but not that hot. I'm sorry you couldn't be outside today. I dressed for the occasion. I even brought my clergy cap. You all know what a clergy cap is. It's a reminder of me, even when you're in shorts and a t-shirt. The collar is still there. I'd like to do this morning, before we begin our worship, is to go over our sending song. It's one that's new to us. It's called Forever. It's fairly catchy, but we decided, instead of putting the music in the bulletin like we do with most of the other stuff, it would have added about 4 pages. And we feel enough trees the way it is. So I figured that we can learn this. It goes like this. So we'll turn to our sending song. It's called Forever.
Thank you.
together in the name of God, our Creator, our Savior, and our Counselor.
Amen.
We confess that we have misused this earth. We confess that we are driven to get more out of this world's goods than we need and are tempted to seek security in our possessions.
Forgive us, Lord.
We confess that we are often insensitive to the needs of those around us and unwilling to share your blessings freely with others.
Forgive us, Lord.
We confess that we follow our own dreams instead of Christ, that we trust our own will rather than yours, that we live as though the world revolves around us. Hear us for the sake of Jesus, your chosen one.
Remind us in Christ's love. Breathe into us your Holy Spirit, that we may be champions and deliverers, your sons and daughters. Amen.
There has been news for us. Jesus was crucified for our forgiveness and raised from the dead so that we can live a new life. We are God's new creation in Christ.
The reading is Galatians 3, verses 23 through 29. Now before faith came, we were imprisoned and guarded under the law until faith would be revealed. Therefore, the law was our disciplinarian until Christ came, so that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer subject to disciplinarian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. The word of the Lord.
Why don't you stand for the reading of the gospel? Holy gospel. found in the Gospel of Luke, the 8th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Then Jesus and his disciples arrived at the country of Gennesaret, which was opposite Galilee. As he stepped out on land, a man from the city who had demons met him. For a long time he had worn no clothes, and he did not live in a house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he fell down before him and shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many times it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles, but he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the wilds. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" He said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. They begged him not to order them to go back into the abyss. Now there on the hillside a large herd of swine was feeding. And the demons begged Jesus to let them enter those, so he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the swine. The herd rushed down on the steep banks into the lake of the flood. When the swineherds saw what had happened, they ran off and told it in the city and in the country. The people came out to see what had happened. And when they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told them how the one who had been possessed by demons had been healed. Then all the people who were surrounding the country of Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." So he went away, proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
Please pray for me. Loving and gracious God, we are grateful this day for your goodness and grace which surrounds us and keeps us. We give you thanks this day for opening your family up to all people. We give you thanks this day for your word. Now may the words of my mouth and the thoughts and meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord our God, our Redeemer. Amen. Dear friends, in Christ, grace you and peace from God our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now there was a church one time, maybe it was more than one time, that wanted to grow. They wanted to grow. They said, "We need more young families. We want to grow. Young families, more kids. Young families came. Then they left." You start to ask the question, why? Why would that happen? Why would they want to be just like us? Why would they want to fit in here? That is the type of story that more than one congregation, more than one church asks all the time. One of the things that happens as we seek to go into God's mission for us, following God's mission so we get things wrapped around, we think it's different. We think, well, you know, we want people to come, but we want them to be just like us. Now, oftentimes that becomes a nationality type of thing, or want to worship just like us. But I want you to know that it's not a new thing. Paul, in our Galatians text today, was running up against the same type of faith. You think church politics and church problems are a new thing. By the way, we're good, by the way. I think we're good. I don't want you to get any, ideas. Well, that's not wrong. Don't put that out of your head. But I want you to know that right from the very get-go, whenever you get people together, you have issues. Have you ever noticed that?
No.
What world do you live in? Paul was running up against an issue in the church of Galatia. And that was what they would call the circumcision party. And what the circumcision party was basically Jews who become Christians. And now Gentiles, folk like us, were coming to Christ, believing and joining in the fellowship. And that party thought that they needed to go through all the other stuff that they had gone through, the laws and all those types of things, in order, before they could become a fully member, fully a part of their fellowship. Paul takes issue with that. He takes issue with that. At the beginning of the service today, we sang a song called All Are Welcome. All are welcome, friend and stranger, at the banquet of the Savior, all are welcome here. Now, I want us to believe the words that we sing. I want us to believe those things and be doers of those things. And that's what Paul is challenging the church in Galatia to do. Challenging them to say, all are welcome. All are welcome here. He uses language such as Jew or Greek, slave or free. Just turn to your text there. There's no longer male or female, for all are one in Christ Jesus. All are one. Everyone is equal. Our challenge is to believe that and live that out in how we do ministry together. That all are welcome. That all are equal. That we welcome all people. We go to our gospel text today. We think about the way that people responded when they saw this man that Jesus sent out the demons in today's gospel readings. And they see this man as clothed, who had been naked, in his right mind, who had been mad, and they were afraid. They were afraid of the change that had happened in this man. Are we afraid? Are we afraid of change that comes? This man had been terribly afflicted for a long time, wearing no clothes and living in tombs. He may as well been dead. Now the people see him and they're shocked and they're afraid because this crazy person is just like them. That's frightening, isn't it? This crazy person is just like them. And perhaps the fear is in how little actually separates us from the people we don't want to associate with. How easy it might be to fall out of regular society and ostracize ourselves. Maybe you're one demon or affliction away from living among the tombs yourself. But we are reminded again and again that God has made these same distinctions that we do. The gift of reconciliation, in other words, putting things back together, holding things, putting back together, is extended to all through Christ, no matter what. And in baptism and in Christ, we enter into that same lap of defining distinctions. Of course, we fall short. I know that. And we don't see it completely, but the fact remains that there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is the Lord of all and is generous to all who call on him. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. God sees you and God loves you. You are clothed with Christ. Your baptism is nothing, and nobody can remove that from you. God has spoken and acted through Christ to say and to show. You are worthy of love, no matter who you are, even when you are living among the dead, in a tomb, so to speak. God comes to you in God's divine love. Jew or Greek, white or black, Hispanic or non-Hispanic, native or non-native, man, woman, slave, to admission, free and clean, ill or well. God makes no distinction in extending healing and salvation. The thing is, God then invites us to participate, to be doers in this healing. Consider the gospel reading once again here. The healed man wanted to go with Jesus, but Jesus tells him to return to his home, declaring how much God has done for him. You see, staying with Jesus wouldn't have had the same effect. The man's testimony, his story of healing and redemption and of freedom, would likely be just a personal type of thing. And just meaningful to those who are just around you. But when you've been rescued from the tombs, how do you tell people about what Christ has done for you? What does that return look like? Are the people at home willing to welcome the man? Or do they turn him away because of fear? Are they able to hear the story of his salvation that he brings and that promise of freedom to them? Or do they dismiss it as just another crazy story? How does the story end? Be fulfilling in the rest of our lives. How do we make sure the church is a supportive, welcoming, and reconciling home? A reconciling voice for people to hear. How might we live into Christ's example and reach out to the outcast? How might we live beyond our doors? We sang a song earlier in the service here, a song of praise called People of Hope. You've heard me tell the story, but that was a song that was written for the mission congregation that I was grateful to be the pastor of, to start, to begin. And in that congregation, the way I described it to people in other congregations is that about a third of people were people of Lutheran background, about a third of people were from other denominational backgrounds, and a third of the people that were part of People of Hope were from no background at all, or in all forgotten. I lift that up as an example as we think about our own ministry and our own reaching out within our community. That all are welcome here. I want people to know that all are welcome here, this place, at this time. Now only know that as we live through our lives. Just so you know, the song we're going to sing, 10,000 Reasons, if I have my story correct, Heidi and Joel Bradshaw, who are not here today, but Heidi's parents are here, who we've been praying for, Gwen and Al. They're right there behind Christine, right there, are here with us today. But this was a song that was sung at his baptism at First Lutheran Church in Fargo. I know, Gwen, how many years ago was that? Six years ago. I'm sorry, what?
After the wedding also.
So, I told them last Sunday we were singing it this Sunday, and they were sad because they weren't going to be here today. My mom and dad. We sing 10,000 Reasons, bless the Lord. Sunday, right? will be meeting with a group from our synod to go to Malawi. How many are going on the trip? Do you know? Four are going, and there's also a crew over there right now, too.
Five
of y'all. Okay. That's really awesome. And we want to take this opportunity to lift up that partnership. One of the things that we chose to do, and we want to thank Beverly. Beverly, stand up right here. She's making this. We were thinking of something we could do with our partner congregation over there. Sharon's hopefully will be able to go there and share with them this. But she's going to take a banner like this to give to the congregation over there, and then we'll also be hanging one similar one just like this. Right, Beverly?
Yes.
Very good. Here, to lift up the partnership, and on the banner it says, walking together in Jesus' love. And these are steps to the cross. Do you have something about to say? Oh, okay. Well, here. It's like you're jogging around my boot.
The cross is God loved us and gave us his Son who died and rose. The red heart, so that we may have faith and love in Jesus as our Savior. In Malawi is known as the warm heart of Africa, and they use the symbol of the heart. The white around is faith and love causes joy, comfort, and peace. The blue field around the edge is such joy of love and faith in the Spirit is the beginning of heavenly joy to come. And the gold ring all the way around is a continuous ring of gold, signifies that such bliss in heaven is eternal. The Malacca Church, Lutheran Church, and our Christ Lutheran Church are companion churches, so you're all involved in this relationship. Malacca Lutheran Church is in Malawi, and our church here in the United States, we start out as countries far away from each other, and we walk together with Christ towards the cross as we grow together in love. There's also, will be a map someplace and some bulletin board, I don't know what's up there, of Malawi and some information about Malawi. And I also found Malacca on the Malawi map, so I had that underlined.
Wonderful. I'd like just to take this moment and to, you might say, extend a blessing for this mission that Sharon is doing. Let's pray. Blessed are you, O Lord, our God, ruler of the universe. For you made whole earth for your glory, all creation praises you. We lift our voices to join the songs of heaven and earth in thanksgiving for the many blessings you have given us. Renew us in the commitment to use our gifts in the service of others, and especially of those in need. Let us be your hands to feed the hungry and shelter the homeless, clothe the naked, comfort the weary and outcast, go out and stranger, care for creation, and be loving neighbors to all people. Bless Sharon, who we send here. Prosper the work of her hands. Bless her, the fruit of her labors, as she goes to Malawi. May the gifts she has, use them. May your heart be open to the needs and love of the people there. To you, O God, be glory and honor through your Son, Jesus Christ. And the unity of the Holy Spirit in your church, now and forever. Amen. Thank you. Blessings to you. With what time do you leave next week?
Early in the morning.
How early? You're not going to be at church on this. I'll be there for the next day. How long is the plan? 22 hours? Been there, done that. Take some, probably 7 p.m. Anyway, let's share it on our way to our meeting. And thank you, Beverly, for your willingness to do this beautiful thing. I'd like you to stand as you're able to profess our faith. It's our affirmation of faith. We believe that God created us and all the earth in love, and that the same love of God gives life to us and our world of faith. We believe that Jesus of Nazareth, our new brother, God's Son, is in Jesus' life and death and resurrection that we see most clearly God's will for our lives and God's unconditional love for us. Give us faith and strengthen us to be with Christ's witness. And fill us with God's peace. We entrust our lives to God, our Creator, our Savior, and Counselor. I'm going to move the prayers of intercession before the offering here at this time. And the response is when I say, let us pray. Have mercy, O God. Joining our prayers with God's people around the world, let us offer our prayers to those in need. For all servants of the gospel, for the church throughout the world, and for all who sing the praise and glory of God, that through the gift of faith, all declare the wonderful name of Christ, let us pray. Have mercy, O God. For the well-being of creation, for mountains and lakes, for fields and forests, for plants and animals, that God lift up good stewards to care for the earth, let us pray. Have mercy, O God. For the nations and their rulers, for aid workers and for people in war-torn areas, that God raise up leaders and advocates to work for the equality of all, let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
For all who cry out in need, the hungry, the poor, the downtrodden and the outcast, the grieving and the sick. Especially today, we remember Ron, Sue, Ann, Arla, and Kathy, Janelle, Ernie, Lexan, Alan, Gwen, Joanne, Kevin, Levi, Sean, Chelsea, Libby, Joel, Janet, Leo, Sam, and Patty. That all may know that God is near and hears their cries, let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
For teachers preparing for the upcoming school year, for those who are traveling and are absent from worship this day, for those who visit our congregation, that God's love lead them in their daily vocations. Let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
For those who travel abroad to seek to foster relationships with different people in different places, we pray for Sharon. Guide Sharon and the group from our synod as they go to Malawi. Grant a safe journey. May they find your love and your grace, and may they be vehicles and conduits of your love and your grace to the people there. Help them to grow in faith towards you and in love towards all. Hear our prayer.
Have mercy, O God.
For all baptized in Christ's death and resurrection, including those who have died, confident that we belong to you in life and in death, let us pray. Hear us, mercy, O God. Merciful God, you hear the prayers of your people even before they are spoken. We commend those and all our prayers to you, trusting in your abundant mercy through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Let's share that peace with one another. give our morning offering at this time. Take and eat. This is my body given for you. And again after supper, he took the cup. A cup of wine, gave thanks, and passed it to his friends, saying, "The cup is a new covenant, sealed with my blood. All of you drink from it now, and know that your sins are forgiven." As we eat this bread and drink this cup, we remember Christ's death and the promise of his coming again. Remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Be seated. Our Lord Jesus is the one who invites us to the table. So come and eat. Need one more.
Thank you.
I invite you to stand as you read. Now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you through his grace and his peace. Amen. Go into the world knowing that Christ is with you. Be Christ's body. Tell Christ's story to all you meet. And live in Christ's life on behalf of the world. The earth and everyone who lives in it belongs to the Lord. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds centered in Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We sing our sending song. And you can stay standing for that. You don't know, it's always easier to sing when you're standing. You know that? Huh? We've learned that. Very good. Need a couple of bags. Sunshine Watch. Larry? Oh, they're doing coffee.
He was making noise.
What's that?
He was the one making noise.
He was the one making noise out there. Gotcha. Okay. Okay. Anyway. So, hopefully, next month when we have... Do we try to have outdoor service next Sunday? Did that mess with people too much? Huh?
What was the question?
Do you want to rain? Do we need to watch here? What's that? It's the
30th. What was the question?
Can we have service outdoor next week since we couldn't have this week? It doesn't matter. You show up, there's nobody in here to go out there. Or there's nobody out there from here. Fair enough. I think the other announcements are self-explanatory here. What? Yes.
I'm going up here so we hear it.
Okay.
I am just letting you know that we need some prayers for our scouts. Yep, we had, there was a car accident on Saturday evening, and one of our actual scouts was in it, a couple other from some other troops around, and we could just use some extra prayers for them, so.
Let's pray right now.
Okay.
Let's pray right now. Loving God, we are grateful today for your presence, in especially those times of need, and especially in those families and those ones who were injured in the car accident with our scouts. We pray for your presence with them, your healing power for them. Help them know that they are surrounded by your grace and your love and keep moving after them. Guide those who are caring for them and restore them to health. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Any other announcements? Okay. You know what that is? It's 10:02, by the way. Celebrate Jesus.